Welcome to the Bonfire Podcast. I am your host, Morgan, aka Bon Diesel, and this week we'll be talking about the Fallout show gets a season 2, creators get a hold of Hades 2 tech test, Larian has 2 new games in development, and much more. So sit back, relax, and let's have a chat around the bonfire. So, kind of a slow week this week. I don't have a lot to go over, mostly things that we've already been talking about, kind of following up. But it was still a good week for gaming for me. I have played a lot of Fallout 4 on the inspiration of the show that came out last week, which I consumed in 2 days. It's been interesting. I played a ton when the game came out 10 years ago, which is really hard for me to think about. But it's been nice, and you can tell that like the modding and stuff has come a long way. I ended up actually playing on Xbox, on my Series X, so I am excited about that next-gen patch coming out. But I just couldn't get it to run the way I wanted it to on PC. It was really strange. And so far, the experience has been fine on Series X. I do wish I had a little bit more access to things that could make the game look better. But overall, it's been fine. And I suspect that the patch may help. Or maybe it won't. I'm actually really concerned that update is going to break all the mods and stuff. So I'm a little concerned about that. But I, I'll survive. It's still exciting. But that's definitely been kind of my gaming this week. I'm also really busy at work because my birthday is this coming week. And I'm taking some time off because I never really take time off. And I'm actually taking time off. So I've been crunching really hard with work because that's how it is when you're an adult. If you want to take time off to relax, you have to stress out for 2 weeks to clear up your schedule for your vacation because, well, that's just how it works, I guess. So that's what I'm getting into. But I am excited to talk about some gaming stuff today. But before we get started on that, please subscribe to the Bon Diesel YouTube channel. Hit the like button and leave a thoughtful comment or just say hi down below. If you prefer, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. I should be on basically all of them. And maybe even leave a review on Spotify or iTunes. I have not gotten an iTunes review in 2 years. Leave me one, and if it's nice, I'll read it during next week's show. Thank you to everyone who supports all of my content over on Patreon, Twitch, and YouTube, with a special thanks to producer-level supporter Hassan, as well as some of the new members over on YouTube. If you're interested in supporting this podcast and my other content, please consider checking out the Linktree link in the description of the show for all the ways you can do that. Gaming news, let's jump into it. Xbox stuff. Fallout Season 2 has been confirmed. Amazon Prime confirmed it, and that's awesome. I won't do any spoilers. If you have finished it already, it's pretty obvious where the game is going. Should be interesting. But what I actually wanted to talk about is how I think it impacts Fallout 5. We're in this really interesting situation where we know Todd Howard has said that he knows what he wants Fallout 5 to be. They probably don't even have a pre-production team on it, because as far as we know, they're still in pre-production on Elder Scrolls, the next, the Skyrim follow-up, which is, they're going to have to go through that whole production cycle and release before they would even start working on Fallout, right? Because they're probably still working with the majority of their dev team on Starfield, with that Shattered Space DLC and trying to, finish that game, quote unquote. So this Fallout show is interesting because it was so successful, and with where it's leading, we know that Todd Howard was heavily involved to make sure they didn't cover any story stuff that would conflict with his idea for the next game, which means they probably have the idea for the next game pretty well fleshed out, right? So that leads to a conflict, right? So there's a really good chance they could put out like 4 more seasons of the show before the next game comes out. But if the show is meant to lead into the game, you know, are they limited with what they can do, with how far they can go, with the stories they can tell? I mean, I guess in theory, they could get to the point where the next game is going to pick up from the story and then maybe do like a spinoff or go, you know, like this game, this shouldn't be a spoiler, is based on the west side of the country. So this is where Fallout 1, 2, and New Vegas all took place. And so if the game is going to pick up there, then in theory, they could do a season, you know, while they wait for the next game to come out on the East Coast, maybe explore the aftermath of Fallout 4, which we don't really know much about from the show or in general. And maybe we could go from there. I don't know. But I am really excited to see what they do with that. That show is very, very good. It's easily, for me, coming up as probably the best video game adaptation to at least a live game. I still think that the Cyberpunk Edgerunners is pretty hard to beat. I would argue that Edgerunners is a way better show than Cyberpunk is a game. That's just my opinion, at least from a story perspective. And a lot of people really like the League of Legends show. Of course, I can't think of it when I'm sitting here talking, but I know that was really popular as well. I tried to watch it. I couldn't get into it, but I understand why people love it. And so, this dance that they're going to have to do while we wait for the next Fallout game to even start pre-production, which is probably like 4 or 5 years away, which is just... What's crazy about Fallout 5 is it's the first game I've thought about that made me feel old. Because I realized, like, best case scenario, I'm 35 right now, I'm about to turn 36. I might be 45 when that game comes out. And then what's really wild is if I think about when the next one could come out, in theory, if they do another one, I could literally be like 60. Like, it's wild how the way that production of games, especially AAA games, you know, the way it's gone, and I suspect this may change sooner than people think. I think we may start seeing smaller experiences or something, seasonal experiences maybe. We'll have to wait and see. But I never thought that thinking about the games coming that I'm excited for would be the things that would make me feel the oldest, right? I'm not that old. I'm in my 30s. I'm fine. But, you know, when you start thinking about how old I'm going to be when these iterations of, you know, these awesome games that I love, you know, how far away they are, it's like weird. It's very, of all the things in my life, you know, I have a daughter, I have a wife, I have, you know, all these things going on. Of all the things that could make me, you know, face mortality, I didn't think it'd be a video game, but you know, here we are, and that's okay. Now, if I'm doing the same thing to you, I kind of apologize, but not really. We're all in this together. But yeah, season 2 of the show. Really excited to see where that's going, especially with what's been hinted, and it's been really fun watching all the lore weirdos freak out about, you know, everything not being perfect to canon. Canon changes, the story changes. As someone who's looking forward to the next Mass Effect game, and what I think they may end up doing when it comes to the canon and lore of that game, just buckle up and just try to enjoy what they give you is what I would say. Another Xbox story, which is a weird thing to say, is the Call of Duty League. I only mention this because I know how big this is, even though I don't care about esports. If you like esports, that's super cool. No hate at all. But I just can't. I can't care. I've tried to watch Halo esports. I've tried to watch Call of Duty. I've tried to watch it all. And I just couldn't care less. It just reeks of just like... I was an athlete my entire life, despite my porpoise-like shape currently. I was actually quite the athlete when I was younger. And I feel like I know what sports are. And esports aren't sports. They are, I guess. I'll reluctantly say they are, but I just can't. And I know, like, ooh, you watch NFL football, it's the same. Is it? But sure, it is. I don't like cricket either. So, you know, if you love cricket and you love esports, then you can just think my opinion sucks. But this is still a big deal, mostly because just the health of esports in general seems to be a little shaky, especially in the post-COVID years, as things are trying to get back to normal, but they're not really. Things are just different. So the Call of Duty League seems to have secured its health for a while by the league and the teams, which are separately owned entities, which is kind of interesting. Have come to a new agreement. They have a big fee change, which I guess was a big deal. They have a 2-year minimum revenue guarantee, which is interesting, and a better revenue share on merch. And I believe they get a revenue share on, there's team items in the Call of Duty store, and so that they get a share of that as well. So if you care about that, there you go. If not, we can both forget it immediately. For PlayStation, we have Ghost of Tsushima. The director's cut is coming to PC. It's been revealed. I don't believe we have a date on it yet. But the interesting thing about it is that it's going to be the first PC port of a PlayStation first party game that's going to have this new PlayStation overlay. So you'll log into your PlayStation account from the overlay and have access to your friends list, your achievements, your trophies. My bad. I don't want to offend any of the PlayStation players. It's not achievements, they're trophies. I think achievements are cool. I like Steam achievements, my Xbox achievements and all of that. Some of the PlayStation folks get real weird about the trophies though. But hey, if you like it, if it's something that makes you happy, that's okay. An interesting thing about the Ghost of Tsushima PC version is that the requirements, power-wise, seem a little surprising. It came up in the Discord, and something I tried to kind of point out is that one thing people don't realize is PlayStation has done a fantastic job in the current gen and even last gen of having like a quality mode and a performance mode in basically every first-party game. What I don't think people realize is even though they'll like label their performance mode as like 4K 60, they're certainly cutting a lot of things from the game to make that happen, right? And so to get true 4K 60 on PC, which, you know, you can take down some of those settings yourself, it's just going to be different. 4K 60 on the consoles is always going to be kind of like a wink. Like, you know, it may technically be 4K 60, but it's with half of its features disabled, right? Where on PC, the expectation is just different. So I that's cool, though. This isn't a game I have any interest in at all. I really want The Last of Us 2 to come to PC, which is, it's just wild. It still hasn't. But we certainly got The Last of Us 1 remake, though. And I really hope that the thoughts that this kind of method of essentially forcing people into the PlayStation hardware ecosystem is really going away. The new CEO, the temporary CEO, or the head of PlayStation after Jim Ryan has left, indicated pretty heavily that they realize that strategy probably isn't good long term, which I completely agree. I think it's very successful in the short term. I think it will bite them in the butt hard in the long term. I really think this thing of being like, you know, they could release their games day and day. They could. There's no reason they couldn't. And, you know, having, you know, maybe a few month delay, maybe 6 months, maybe a year at the most would be more explainable that they really, you know, focused on the console and then did the port. But when, you know, you have these games coming out 2, 3, 4 years later, that's just pure PlayStation waiting until that game sells every single PS5 it can before they reluctantly put it on PC. And while some of their ports have done pretty well, they would do so much better if it was day and day. And yeah, that might mean they sell a few fewer PS5s, but the money's in the software. The profit margin is not in the PS5. It's significantly in the games. And so I just, they have really smart people at PlayStation and Sony. Maybe the math in previous generations, and maybe even right now, still says they make more money by getting people onto their own ecosystem. And that would make sense. When someone buys a digital game from the PlayStation Store on a PlayStation, they get 100% of that profit, or they get a lot of it. When they have to sell it on Steam, they have to give Steam their cut. That's why a lot of people just assume, which I do as well, that we will see, reluctantly, a PlayStation platform at some point where you'll be able to buy their games directly from them, they'll get the full cut, and you're going to have another launcher on your PC. So for any PC folks, we know how much of a nightmare that is to have. I think I have, even I have like 5 or 6 different launchers, and I don't use basically any of them. But that's coming. I really hope they start kind of getting with the times a little bit. It's one of the biggest reasons I wish Xbox was like more competitive with them and kind of forced them into this earlier. But I don't think a competition thing is even the thing now. I think PlayStation realizes that they're probably just better off by doing this sooner than later. So we'll see. It's especially going to depend on who takes over as the permanent CEO. If they retain the current person who's in the temporary role, I think we'll definitely see that happen from their own words. If it's someone else, who knows? We'll have to wait and see. And then the final platform story is with Nintendo. They are skipping Gamescom. This isn't that surprising. We know this is August or September event. That's typically the last of the big showcases for the summer. And, the reports and rumors are currently that the next Switch hardware was maybe going to come out in 2024, has likely been delayed until 2025, and that probably kind of means that Nintendo doesn't have a lot to show, and they want that pop. They're going to be looking to have that big announcement of the next hardware. And the rumors were that if they released the hardware this year, they weren't going to have many games ready for it, and by delaying it, they should have a better release slate. Is the thought. There's the assumption there will be the next Mario Kart, another Mario game, and likely a few other staples of the Nintendo first party lineup, as well as, assuming it has the hardware it's supposed to have, we'll probably see some pretty big third parties on there as well. So we're gonna have to wait a little bit to see something from Nintendo. I suspect we'll get an announcement of that hardware probably at the very beginning of 25, and probably like a spring release. Wouldn't surprise me. So we'll be waiting for that. Hades 2 Tech Test is out in the wild. If you pay attention to Twitch or YouTube, you likely saw your big, whatever big content creators you follow were probably playing this week, or at least talking about it. I'm not like a Hades head. I didn't really get into the first game. I tried it and I played it, and it's very pretty, and I get it. It's a roguelite type where you have to play through it multiple times, get the true ending and all that. I'm just not great at those games, and they get really frustrating for me pretty quickly, and it's probably one of those that I should try again, especially because it's got some like hot mommies in it. But I just, we'll see. I highly doubt it. I could be proven wrong. This was just the tech test, though. They are going to release an early access, much like they did with the first game, and they will release that early access probably later this year. In the full game, I would guess in 2025. There was a lot of discussions about early access. You have, like indie games who raise money this way, and then you have games like Larian did with Baldur's Gate 3, where they did, they had essentially early access for the first act of Baldur's Gate 3 for like 3 or 4 years, and it really paid off because the first act of Baldur's Gate 3 is amazing. It's extremely good, and I think that it's interesting though, because like with Hades 2, like, do they really need it? Like it's pretty well acknowledged that early access at this point is just fundraising for especially established games. But like, I find it hard to believe that Hades didn't make enough money where they don't need to do this. They could do a beta or something just to double check before the game comes out. But this definitely seems like it's basically just part of their marketing, and that's fine. No one else seems to really care. I bet it's going to be very successful. And we'll be following that as closely as I feel like. Lawbreakers is back. The extremely failed multiplayer game from the creator of Gears of War is back in a way. So basically, there's a fan-created launcher for the game that came out and is allowing people to play the game again on, you know, self-hosted servers, basically. It's like a third party who owns the license to Lawbreakers right now. I don't believe they were involved in the development of this. So we're going to see a real interesting situation here of, does the current owner of this IP care? Because if they care, they're going to shut this down. If they don't care, no one's going to worry about it. And Cliff Bleszinski or whatever his name is will hype up the fact that people played his game. That I remember it was like good. It just, the marketing was awful. He's kind of a nightmare. I don't know if he's ever done anything that's like legitimately problematic, but he's a real weirdo, man. Like, I remember he was on a Kind of Funny, man, it might've been last year or the year before. And you know, he's kind of scattered, I think is a nice way to say it. And he was telling some just like, he's just a weird dude. And I don't know. He's just someone I've never really rooted for. I just can't root for him is kind of where I'm at. So, you know, if you liked Lawbreakers, go nuts. Hollow Knight Silksong has been raided in Australia. This is a pretty big deal. This game has been in... I don't care about Hollow Knight. I've never played it. Maybe I would love it. I have no idea. But the coverage of Hollow Knight Silksong has been wild because it's this game that people are really, really excited for. It's a sequel to Hollow Knight. And for a game of its type, it seems like it's been in development for like twice as long as it should have been. It's very strange. And as far as I know, there hasn't really been much discussion or much talked about with it. And we don't really know why it's taken so long to come out. And so, you know, there's all these little bits. I believe a few weeks ago it popped up on the Xbox store. I don't know. It's a super strange game. I believe it was initially announced during an Xbox show. And I think it's anticipated to be a Game Pass day one game. And it looks like it's probably coming soon. If I had to guess, I would say it's almost a guarantee, if that's still the deal, to probably be announced during the Xbox showcase in June. So, if you're interested in that, then, you know, keep an eye out. We have a couple of related stories here as we get towards the end. Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast are exploring new studios to make Baldur's Gate 4. This shouldn't be surprising to anyone. Baldur's Gate 3 has been such a hilariously successful release. Larian did just like an unbelievably good job with it, even if, you know, some of their practices may not have been looked at so kindly if it wasn't as good as it is. But they're not interested in another one, which we'll talk about. So Hasbro is looking for someone else to make the next one, because while Larian may not be interested in revising, you know, pushing that series forward, I believe even the Hasbro rep who talked about it was like, yeah, we don't plan on there being 25 years before the next game as there was between 2 and 3. There's also been some chatter, I believe, at least from the voice actor from Asterion, who has said, like, I'm not done with this character. I want to do more. Now, he's a video game voice actor. every single video game voice actor wants their character to be in more stuff because they get paid, right? And because I think they do genuinely get attached to these characters, especially ones that raise them to a new level of fame, which all of the Baldur's Gate voice actors, even some of the probably more minor ones, are probably more famous than they've ever been for the most part. And they deserve it. The voice acting in that game is insane and for how much of it there is. It's just wild. Literally talking about it makes me want to go finish my last playthrough. We'll get to it eventually. Baldur's Gate 4, we'll have to keep an eye out on who picks that up, who they decide to partner with. That could be super exciting or terrifying and disappointing. More than anything, I'm really interested in if Hasbro or Wizards are going to force the next game to be like a continuance of 3 with the characters and the general story, or if they'll let them do their own thing, kind of like what Larian was able to do. We'll see. Speaking of Larian, they did confirm that they are working on new games. They have already confirmed it's not going to be more Baldur's Gate. It's not going to be a sequel to that, unfortunately, depending on who you are. And it's interesting because they've kind of made it seem like it's probably not going to be Divinity either. So if they have 2 games, in theory, it could be 2 original games. There's a chance that one may be an existing IP that they're partnering with someone on. We're just going to have to wait to see. This all came, I believe, at the same time that they announced another big patch for Baldur's Gate 3. They definitely seem like they're winding that down. It seems like they're still saying there's some more stuff to come. But that they're definitely coming to the end of Baldur's Gate 3 development, which, like, I think everyone is not looking forward to. Luckily, in their last few updates, it seems like they are going to give a pretty good amount of mod support. So it's going to be in players' hands, and I suspect we're going to see some pretty significant modding with this game. My biggest concern is that since this is a proprietary engine, and it's not an engine people have a ton of experience with, like the creation engine for Bethesda is proprietary, but people have been modding that game heavily for many years. Unreal Engine isn't, I guess it's technically proprietary, but it's easy to mod because it's so prolific. I'm curious to how mod friendly this engine is going to be in general, because all the mods right now are just like registry edits and fairly minor things. So it's going to be really interesting, and I hope that fans are able to really do some fun stuff with Baldur's Gate. As for the games that they're working on, I really would love to see them have their take on a Mass Effect-ish space sci-fi kind of RPG. That would be pretty, pretty cool. that definitely more in my style or preference of game setting. And, they were able to make me like a setting and aesthetic that I just don't like for the most part. And that makes me really excited for them to maybe do something a little more up my alley. Skybound Games is raising money for an Invincible game. If you haven't watched the Invincible show or read the graphic novels, they're not comics, I believe. The show is insane. It's extremely, extremely good. And it's one of those things where it has like a lot of potential to be a really, really interesting game to make, or it could just feel like a crappy cash-in. So I'm curious to see what this is going to look like. I think Ubisoft is doing a game with them too. I don't fully understand everything. My finger's not quite on the pulse of that, like you would think it may be, but we'll see. And then the gut punch story that we always have to end with, Take-Two, who's above the owner of Rockstar, who's currently making Grand Theft Auto 6, is cutting 5% of their staff, which I believe is around 550 people. So this stuff's going to keep happening. It seems like it's like kind of sort of slowed down in the last month or so, but maybe that's just me starting to ignore it, which sucks. But that's kind of what, when this stuff is constantly happening, it's just hard to just be vigilant and continue like really keeping your finger on the pulse. But this sucks. And It's weird timing. They confirm that it involves multiple canceled games. Obviously, Grand Theft Auto 6 is fine. But it is weird. And the commentary I saw about it this week was like, they know they have a hilariously gigantic windfall coming next year. In 2025, Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to make just hilarious amounts of money. But the way these things work is their shareholders want to see results now, and that's what they're looking for. So it really sucks, and unfortunately, that's not going to change. And that's the last story I have. As we wrap things up, I do want to throw out that Sunday, so probably before you listen to this, I am going to be over on Kala Elizabeth's YouTube. She is a Mass Effect creator for the most part. She dabbles in other things as well. Myself, her, and N7 Legend, who's been on my podcast and been on to talk about Mass Effect before, we're all getting together for a live stream on Kala's channel to talk Mass Effect and to kind of dig into how we're feeling about the next game, where things are at, you know, what we're wanting and things like that. So please go over and check out her channel, check out our live stream VOD. I'll make sure I post it all over the place. And I just want to throw out a shout out to her and a thank you for thinking about me for this. And I'm really excited to talk about everything. I also want to thank you for listening to this episode. Please consider supporting all of my content by watching, listening, sharing, following my socials, or maybe even throwing a few bucks my way via one of the links on my Linktree link in the description of the show. That is all I have for this episode of the Bonfire Podcast. So until next time. I'm gonna go get some more.